Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a joy for me to welcome you to our annual Christmas Eve service. I want to welcome church family and friends and relatives, all those who will be watching via the internet tonight. A warm welcome to one and all as we gather together to celebrate news of great joy. And we're so glad that you're here tonight to share this time with us. I want to remind those of you to whom this might apply, there is a nursery available, if need be, for the little ones. And I just wish everybody could see how beautiful the sanctuary looks tonight. Our heartfelt gratitude to all those who have donated poinsettias in memory or in honor of loved ones, and our thanks to all who had a part in making this sanctuary look so beautiful. Just a word about the candle lighting that comes at the end of the service. I want to encourage you to dip only the unlighted candle. And parents, be especially watchful over your children as they light their candles. We don't want any pyrotechnics here tonight. Like to avoid that if we can. We'll also be receiving a mission offering tonight for global missions. That goes to support, for mission support all around the world, and encourage you to give generously. You could drop your offering. There's a box in the back, you can make your offering that way. But we want to be channels of God's grace and love to others. We're so glad that you have come tonight. Let's begin our worship with a word of prayer. Loving God, your angels broke into the midnight of a sleeping world to sing the news that Christ was born in Bethlehem. So, God, break into our world tonight and stir our hearts again to hear again the message of your love and grace. We're looking forward to the coming of the child whose birth was foretold by prophets, praised by angels, and greeted by shepherds. Although there was no room in the inn in Bethlehem, help us to make room for him tonight in our lives so that we can live in his love and receive his peace and share his light. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them has a light shined. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
He is also called Emmanuel, for in him God is with us. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Amen.
Chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month of her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel. A child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from the sea of hurt. Oh, come, Emmanuel. And can you hear the angels singing, "Glory to the light of the world, glory, the light of the drought breaks with the tears of a mother. A baby's cry is the sound of love. Come down, come down, Emmanuel. He is the song for the suffering. He is Messiah, the Prince of Peace. To the light of The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus and the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit.
Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly.
But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
"Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us.
When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son.
And he named him Jesus.
Yeah. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger."
Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 20. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger.
When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus. And we're so grateful for all gathered here to give you thanks for the global Christmas offering. We pray that you will bless all the givers and all of the receivers of this offering. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Amen.
And heaven and nature sing.
seat. I'm in trouble. Hey, I want your help tonight. You know what? I was at another church as pastor for almost 40 years. And I've been retired for almost 5 years. So I want to read the Christmas story to you, but I'm afraid I may have forgotten some parts. So listen. I need your help tonight.
Okay.
First of all, this is the Christmas story. Way up in the North Pole, there's a man who wears a big red suit, he has a beard, and his name is Santa Claus. And Christmas is all about Santa Claus.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't. Is Christmas about Rudolph?
No.
Is Christmas about Frosty?
No.
No?
Christmas is about joy and spending time with your family. And the birth of Jesus.
Wow. You get a lifetime membership.
You
are good. Wow. Story,
and you tell me if I make a mistake, okay? Now, the mother of Jesus was Barbara.
No. It was Mary.
Oh, that's right. I have the worst memory. Yeah. And who is the father of Jesus?
Joseph,
right. Well, one day, an angel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord
is with you."
And Mary was so confused and so surprised. And the angel said, "Don't be scared, Mary. You're going to have a baby." And Mary said, "How can I
have a baby? I'm not married." And the angel said, "It's okay, Mary. It's okay. The baby will be God's son, Jesus." And Mary told Joseph
that she was going to have a baby. And boy, was he surprised.
Yeah.
No.
But he
wanted to take care
of him and the baby.
It's because God was a baby.
And right before the baby was born, Joseph and Mary had to go on this long trip. They had to go and pay taxes.
No.
And that was a long, hard trip.
No. No, they didn't have to pay taxes.
Do you know where they had to go? To Bethlehem.
They didn't have taxes.
Hey, did they use a minivan?
They used a donkey.
When they got there, they had some bad news. They ran into an innkeeper.
Yay!
Yeah, and the innkeeper said, "Well, you're here, but I don't have any room for you in my inn."
Yeah.
And so when they got to Bethlehem, the innkeeper offered them a stable. What kind of animals
do you think
were in the stable?
Cows.
Cows? What else?
Sheep. Donkey. Sheep.
Yeah, that's right. And that very night, Mary had her
baby. And Mary and Joseph knew that their baby was special because
the angel told them that it would be.
What was the baby wearing?
Baby clothes.
Swaddling clothes. Now, listen, God wanted
people to know that Jesus had been born. So who did he send?
Angels, yeah.
And the angels.
I know what angels is when there should be
over. I know. And the angels went
to
tell the shepherds, right?
And the shepherds were doing
it. Yeah. And what did the angels say to the shepherds?
I am bringing you good news of great joy. Unto you is born this day a Savior. Shepherds. shepherds.
And the shepherds
wanted to go see what had happened.
So
they left and they went to try to find the baby Jesus. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby
Jesus.
And what is this in? What was baby Jesus in?
A manger.
A manger. I had a little boy one time who said this was a car seat. But no, listen. But there was another group that came to visit Jesus. Do you know who it was?
The wise men.
The wise men. That's right. They came. Now, they weren't really close by. They were really kind of far away.
They were in Egypt. So it took them almost 2 years to get there.
But when they finally got there, they brought gifts to the baby. You know what the gifts were?
Frankenstein?
Gold, Frankenstein. And myrrh, yeah. Yeah, the wise men.
Yeah,
they brought these gifts. And they lived, even though they lived far away, even if it took a long time. But it doesn't matter whether they were far away or nearby.
What about the little drummer boy?
Huh?
What about the little drummer boy? Well, that was a song that was written a long time after Jesus was born. But it's a beautiful song, isn't it? I love that song.
Yeah. Well, listen. I want you to know that Jesus came. I love you, and God loves you.
Let's bow our heads, okay? And pray again. God, we thank you for that day we've waited for so long, and it's finally here. We thank you for sending Jesus into the world as a little baby. We thank you for the best gift of all. Help us to find ways to be thankful and to remember that you are with us
pray. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all. All right.
Oh, come, all you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable, come, know you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. Oh, come, bitter and broken, come, with fears unspoken, come, taste of his perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. His promise is peace for those who believe. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who believe. So come, though you have nothing, come, He is the offering. Come, see what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. Christ is
from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, 10 through 14, and 16 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world knew Him not. He came to His own home, and His own people received Him not. But to all who received Him, to all who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. And from His fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made Him known. This is the word of the Lord for us tonight. What beautiful music we've had this season, and especially tonight. And it's one of the joys of the season. I want to thank you all for sharing your gifts with us tonight. It was just beautiful. Last Thursday was an important day because at 10:27 p.m., it was the winter solstice. Days were getting longer and longer, but then light begins to overtake the darkness. And it's for that very reason that Christians centuries ago began celebrating Christmas at this time of year, because it was so close to the winter solstice. So it's little wonder Since light overcoming darkness is one of the key themes and meanings of Jesus coming into the world, and Christians would look back at the prophets like Isaiah, and they would find a description of the meaning of God coming into the world in the person of Jesus, and of light overcoming darkness. And Isaiah speaks of walking in darkness. We have all done that, haven't we? It can be difficult. It can be threatening. We often speak of dark periods in our lives or dark periods in history. And there's the additional feeling of not knowing what is up ahead, or where we're going, or what comes next. So Isaiah speaks of people walking in darkness, and they certainly did. The first Christmas happened at a time when people walked in the darkness of Roman oppression. It was a time of fear and uncertainty, not knowing what was ahead. The Gospel of John picks up on this, and speaking of the coming of Jesus, John speaks of light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God. In him was life, and the life was the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, John's version of Christmas doesn't talk about angels or shepherds or Bethlehem or a manger. When and where Jesus was born doesn't seem to be of much interest to John. He's more interested in the light that came into the world after Jesus came. He reached under the rubble of our lives and he turned the light on. Now, I think we all know about human darkness. I have said it. I bet you have said it. I'm not going to watch the news anymore. I've had it. It's all bad. And I'm going to refrain tonight from the usual litany of difficulties and challenges we face as individuals and as people of the world. We know what it means when the gospel says that people live in a land of deep darkness, because we do too. But John says a light has come, and the darkness can't extinguish that light. Victoria Lancaster wrote an article that tells the story of her family driving down a two-lane road in the middle of nowhere. And the snow started to fall, and the car decided to stop. It was a very deserted place. It was getting cold, but they saw in the distance one single house, one of those old white frame farmhouses, and they could see it because every window in the house was glowing with Christmas lights. And before long, a grandfatherly gentleman trudged up to the car in the snow, and he spoke to this family. He said, "You and your children are going to get sick. My wife just prepared dinner. She always makes too much. Why don't you come up to the house and get warm and have something to eat?" And they did. And the house was so warm and inviting. They were treated with such kindness and love. A tow truck was called. The broken down car was towed away. A friend of Victoria's came and picked the family up even in that awful storm. And 2 days later, the farmer and his wife brought that repaired car to Victoria's family. And Victoria said she learned that the brightest lights shining from the farmhouse that night were not the Christmas lights. They were the people who lived in that house. Sometimes That's how light comes to us. Sometimes through people like that farmer and his wife, and sometimes through people who believe in him. People like us. We've become a part of his light when we do the things that he did. When we embody his love and his compassion, and when we live like him, and when we love like him. I know sometimes we fall into the trap of focusing only on the darkness, and that's all we see. And it's easy to do. But the good news of our faith is that a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. The good news of our faith is also that the light of love does shine in the world. I have seen it, haven't you? Our mission team went to Overland Garden this past week, and the world was a little brighter. Every time I hear of someone going to visit a neighbor who's sick, or someone who takes a casserole to someone who's grieving, or provides transportation for someone who needs to see a doctor, the world is a little bit brighter place. My wife saw someone a couple of days ago just jump out of their car to rescue an elderly woman trying to cross a busy thoroughfare. She had tried again and again, but the cars were coming too fast. So this woman helped her. And every time I think of someone who takes a stand for those who are poor, for those who are vulnerable, for those who are down and out, or every time I hear about someone who takes time to listen to someone who is lonely, the world is a little brighter. And Christmas happens. You know, for me, the light in the dark world was forever captured during the height of COVID by a senior adult man. He was just discovering that he had a serious case of COVID, and he just sobbed and sobbed. He wanted to go home to his wife. He was so alone, so isolated, but his doctor, throwing caution to the wind and at great personal risk, just took him in his arms. Just took him in his arms and held him close. That is light shining. That is Christmas. One brief story and I'll be through. Robert Louis Stevenson, I think, is best known for his work, Treasure Island. But when he was a boy, he was often sickly. And on one cold night, as he stared out his bedroom window, his nurse told him to get away from that cold glass. He'd catch his death of cold. But he didn't listen because he wanted to look out the window. He was watching intently as a lamplighter moved down the street outside, and he was lighting lamps all along the street. Stevenson yelled to his nurse, "Look!" There's a man poking holes in the darkness. I think that's what we're meant to do. Every time we make a hard existence softer or bring hope to someone who is despairing, every time somebody hurts less because we love more, every time we trade in our many wants so that someone else can have their needs met, we poke holes in the darkness. The light shines. The darkness can't overcome it because God is with us and within us. It shines, and so often that happens through people who believe in him. And we get to take a part in that, you and I. We don't have to just read the story tonight. We can be a part of it. we can be in it. Tonight, we remember that it's the light of love that dispels darkness. It is the light of love that brings hope. Tonight, we remember that God gave a son to shine a light into our dark world so that we might know how much we're loved. It's the light of love that we see reflected in all the ways that people poke holes in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not, cannot, will not overcome it. So tonight, we celebrate his birth, but more, we pray that his life will become our life, his heart, our heart, and sharing his light, our most fervent prayer. Will you bow with me? Loving God, all around us are signs of the significance of this night, the beauty of this sanctuary, the beautiful music. The reading of the word calls to mind an old story that's ever new. The burning candles tell of an inbreaking light. What about our hearts, Lord? Make our hearts ready to receive the Christ. May we discover joy tonight, and may hope flood our hearts, and may the Christ who was and is and who shall always be find room in our hearts to be born again this night. In his name we pray. Amen. We have come to that time in the service when we're going to share light with one another. Soon this room is going to be bathed in a soft and gentle light. We're going to sing in one voice about God's love for us and our love for God. I think these candles are in the center of our chancel for a reason. They remind us that Christ is at the center, at the heart of what Christmas is all about. God so loved the world that God gave a son, not to condemn, but to love and to save. And because the gift of Christ is God's best gift, we dare not keep it to ourselves.